This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is for the players, the Pop Culture's PlayStation podcast, with almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 years in the games media combined. We thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that conversation and many more, you are more than welcome to at YouTube, iTunes and Stitcher, Facebook and all other social media outlets. But the main place the best conversations take place is our Facebook community group at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists. But if you really, 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 for whatever reason, somehow like what we do, we have a Patreon now. You can check that out at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers. There might be a reward there that interests you.
So massive shout out to everyone that has already contributed.
Oh man.
Your names will appear at the end of the episode, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
In nice little credits. We do very, very much appreciate you. And I believe they get this episode a little bit early.
They do. It makes having the Patreon, it's like a tense kind of, you know, it feels like you're putting yourself out there a lot more.
Yeah.
And to have people actually jump on and be like, yeah, we're keen for this, that makes you, this is all starting to, like, this is worth it.
See, for me, like, it felt super arrogant, right?
It does.
Like, we think we're good enough that you should give us money.
Yeah.
But then people were like, yeah, we'll give you money. I'm like, what?
Well, the conversation only really came up is because a few people did ask, you know, do you guys have a Patreon? And it's like, well, we've talked about it, but we don't really want it. I don't know. I was really in an iffy space about it, but it's going well. We're super stoked. Yeah,
to me, it felt like going.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Money.
But we've got some pretty cool rewards, so yeah, you're more than welcome to check that out if you wish.
It's super great. So yeah, if you do feel the need, be sure to give us your couple dollars if you want. Mm. But anyway, how you been, man?
Good, man.
Yeah.
Good, man. It's
been pretty good.
Actually, a little bit stoked.
Why is that?
We normally go straight into what we've been playing for the week.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about what we've been watching for the week, because just a quick little thing. Wonder Woman is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We saw Wonder Woman last night prior to recording this.
The view is up. Link in the description.
Yeah, yeah. The video will be up.
Spending the whole night thinking about it?
I have. I went in with such low expectations that when it turned out to be a really good movie, it made it seem even better because I really wasn't expecting much. Just given, you know, the track history that DC have had.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked. I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, having a discussion this morning with our friend Tom from Loadscreen, he's put a couple of different things in the movie into a different context,
okay,
a different look at it, and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
But no, it didn't change the fact that I really, really enjoyed the movie. I think the movie's still great. But what have you been playing?
A little bit more Injustice 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's starting to kind of peter out now. I think I've seen everything I need to see. I don't really want to get into the online side of things because I just don't really like to do that anymore. That's hypocritical though, because I bought the Destiny collection.
Yeah, the Taken King
about
set.
Yeah. Nearly a week ago now. Just with the announcement of Destiny 2, I looked back on Destiny 1 and I did a bit of a read up on what they've done with all the expansions to see what they've improved on, because I had Destiny originally, so did you. I got to the level cap and was like, well, there's nothing left for me, because I didn't have any friends to play with, didn't have a clan or whatever they call them. Like, well, there's nothing left for me in this game. But going back to it now, because I am keen for Destiny 2 and I did want to catch up on everything. I'm having a great time. I'm just playing by myself at the moment, but they have fixed so much in this game. Like, for example, remember how your level was based on your light?
Yes.
How you'd get a new piece of gear to give you some more, that was basically your XP. You get gear, better gear gives you more points, so your level goes up.
Yeah.
They've separated that now. So you just get XP for leveling, like a normal fucking game. And then your light score is essentially your
endgame sort
your
of
gear,
thing.
Your gear score.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want to do this raid, your light should be about 350.
Yeah.
But in terms of level, it streamlines the leveling process a lot more and makes leveling a lot more simpler. I'm already up to the Taken King content now. I'm having a great time. I'm really enjoying it.
Yes, Destiny's one of those games, like when I sold my OG PS4 to buy the Pro, to a buddy of mine, I just threw a bunch of random games in as well. I'm like, here you go.
Yeah.
Here's like old Call of Duty, here's NBA 2K, because I got it with the console, and here's Destiny. Like, have fun with it.
Yeah.
In hindsight, I kind of wish I kept it, because I would like to have been jumping in with you now, because when I played it, with the intention of playing with my friends, but all my friends had more spare time than I did at the time, so they would all play it throughout the day, and I'd come home and they'd be like, oh, we're already like 10 levels ahead of you.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, fuck this. Yeah.
can you come and help me, like, rush me? No, we're raiding.
You're like,
stuff
no, no, we're raiding with some other people and we can't. I'm like, fuck you. Yeah,
that's the start of the collapse right there.
Yeah,
that's when you get left behind. But now there's no pressure to get there, to keep up with everyone. So I'm just playing it at a leisurely pace and really enjoying
it. Yeah, see, like I said, I would like to still pick it up. Like, you know, now you mentioned, like, oh, it's kind of worth picking up. Like, but for me, it's the idea of, like, do I pay it now? And then knowing that the new one will be coming in a couple of months anyway. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, well, we're investing. Because nothing carries over by the sounds.
There's a little bit, not character progression, but there was some, like, clans carry over.
Yeah.
Because they're all based off the Bungie website.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that carries over. I think a couple of other things. But I've spent a lot on games the last few months.
You've done really... Someone that's unemployed, you've done a lot of game spending.
I have, and so I need to cut back. So I was kind of also looking for a game that will keep me occupied, that I can just jump into at any point and just keep doing something with that longevity. And with, the Destiny 2 announcement, I thought, you know, Destiny actually really works for me in this situation. I've got to cut back on games. I need a game with pretty much unlimited playtime, as much as you want to put in. Yeah, it worked. What about you?
I've been playing Tekken 7. Mm-hmm. So thanks to our new friends at Bandai Namco Australia. Thank you very much. they were great. We reached out our first time. We're like, hey, this is what we plan on doing. Please, you know, just send us some PR stuff and we'll be happy to work something in the future. They've gone, hey, here's a code for Tekken. I'm like, what?
A few days before release. Do you want to stream it?
So you can stream it as of tomorrow, Mike. What? And so then we streamed it and we had such a good time. Like, this game is dripping with Tekken nostalgia, right? But, like, the game itself is new. Like, it feels new. It's all pretty. And, like, I've not played the last three Tekken, right? Just simply because it came out at a time when I couldn't afford games like I do now. Mm-hmm. So I can never pick them up. But playing it now, it's like, okay, it's still smooth. It's so pretty. But you have not a full customer characterization, character customization, but you can create costumes and you can tweak it that way. So first thing I did, you know, was get into the character, go to my character, my man Eddie Gordo, and I gave him the old school green and yellow midriff. Pants and singlet.
That costume brings back bad memories for me. That was bad memories.
So, like, first thing I did, I was like, yep, this is great. I haven't dived into the story too much at the moment. I'm just kind of... Because I said, if I'm going to go into the story, I want to be able to, like, do okay at it. So, I've just been spending a bit of time in the single player and just practicing and tweaking and working stuff. Mm-hmm. One thing we did try before we came in here, which could explain why I've got lovely VR hair, is we tried Tekken in the VR mode.
Yep. Super cool.
Yeah. So it's nothing too amazing. It's not like you're in the body of the person. Like, it's literally you're viewing a fight, but not a regular arcade fight. Like, it's this weird sort of like a lake, but it's all star and purple. Yeah, and
it's
cool.
A nice backdrop, and essentially unlimited practice mode. The other character just stands there, and you just do your moves and change the camera views around.
Slow-mo, so you can see the intricacies of like a giant throw. Or
the
like
slow-mo was really impressive to me because it shows how much effort's gone into the animation of the moves.
Yeah.
Because when you got it in slow-mo, you can watch, you know, if someone's leaning back for a punch, they don't just move their arm back and punch, obviously. You can see them shift their body weight for the whole move, and it looks super smooth and really cool.
I just found a sticker in my new shirt, and it's kind of scratching my neck. Nice. I didn't think too much of it. I remember when I did see this originally a while back, probably a couple of months ago, and I was like, oh, that's very basic VR. Like, I hope they do something with that and make it improve it a little bit. No, I saw was what it is.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's a fun, like, it's another... Put the VR headset on your friends and go check out what VR is. They'll go, that's really cool.
Yeah, and there's a cool little sort of character viewer, so you can go in and view the costumes and stuff you've made and get a bit higher. You can really zoom in on the characters for the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, damn, Eddie, you've got some really broad shoulders. I'm like, damn, this chick's got big boobs. And, like, you know, it's like, damn, that's a lot of pack.
It is a fighting game, so
it's like that part was kind of cool. You know, dipping in around and see what's going on. Yep. But the other game is great. I'm really keen to spend more time with it. I think I might stream it again. Just so I have an excuse to play it.
And I noticed you went back and did another stream of Bully earlier in the week.
So once again, playing on the Xbox because it's not available on the PS4. Mm-hmm. Went back, played Rockstar's Bully. Fuck, it's a good game.
Yeah.
It's just really good. It's just so good.
It got a lot of traction too, so I must...
Which is really impressive, seeing as, like, you know, when we did Red Dead got a bunch of traction, and we did Bully, and I'm like, God damn, Bully's going to get delayed or announced or something, because we have bad timing.
About that on last week's show?
We did.
That you streamed it, and the day after? With Dave, total coincidence.
Now, another thing that'll be live this evening is we have also received a copy of Wipeout Omega Collection.
Woo woo.
And we'll be streaming that tonight.
A lot of gigs.
8 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
A lot of gigs in that game.
That game, like 30 gigs total? 26 gigs. It was bigger than I thought it was, but it is running at 4K. Now, like as of recording, still downloading.
So I've not spent any time with it yet,
but I said you'll get all my thoughts tonight.
I think it'd be great in VR theater mode.
Yeah, because like that's the other thing. After we played Tekken in VR, we dicked around in a bunch of other games just in cinema mode. Because last time I really played around with cinema mode was when I had the original PS4.
Yeah.
And now with the Pro, like the screen door effect is there, but I'm finding because the PS4 Pro does push out that higher resolution image when it denses down into the headset, there's less jaggies.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah.
It's a smoother experience. Like it's smoother. It's an easy look at. So
if you are a VR man,
you should get a Pro.
You tried Skyrim Remastered originally, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, that would be really.
I'd be keen to do it again, actually. But like, I need to go back to Skyrim.
No, you don't have time.
I tried to play The Witcher again this week as well. but for me, it was like I played and I was like a couple hours in. I'm like. Actually, in the save was a couple hours in. I'm like, I don't fucking remember where I am, so I'm gonna have to start again at some point.
You won't.
I kind of want to use the stream as an excuse to play it, and like that was my reasoning. Like if I stream it, then I have to play it. Then I have to, you know.
But then we get sent cool games to stream, so that always gets put on the back.
Yeah, end. Like that's like all the other filler games, sort of when we don't have cool games to go with. Yeah. What is the news this week in the section we call Inform the Players?
You forgot what it was called for a second. I did. I could see it in your eyes.
Like, we saw that panic, like, whoa!
Because you dragged it out in the section we call Inform the Players. We have 8 bits of news.
I'm going to drink my raspberry cordial like I'm 8 years old again.
Number one, a follow-up story in the saga of Square parting with IO. 3 weeks from Square Enix's shock announcement it would sell Hitman developer IO Interactive, there's still little word on the future of the much-loved stealth series. However, details from Square Enix's financial documents have now confirmed what was previously suspected. The publisher is ready to sell off its Hitman rights alongside IO so that the studio can continue its work on the franchise.
I don't know how good cordial is.
Cool.
No, because I drink a lot of soft drinks, so I'm like, this is still just as bad for me.
Oh, yeah.
But it's worse. Let's try this instead of water. I'm like, damn!
It may not come as a huge surprise. Oh. Hitman is IO's baby, and without its developer, it would no longer have its core purpose for continuing. The studio is also by now likely well into development of Hitman Season 2. Square Enix keeping the Hitman rights, but selling off IO would mean all this work would have been scrapped. In a quote, because the firm is engaged in the development of Hitman and other renowned titles, we are negotiating with prospective external investors capable of ensuring that these titles carry on. Square Enix President Yosuke Matsuda explained to investors in a financial briefing document. So that's really good because we didn't know what was happening with Hitman. We knew IO had parted and they've greatly reduced their team at this point. So it's good to know that Square Enix aren't total douchebags.
Well, yeah. So the thing is, like, are they looking just for another team to continue it, as in to another team to fund IO, or because they're getting rid of IO at this point? So, like, are they looking for investors to come and keep the studio running? So when they leave, someone will come in and take over.
Because at this point, no one has purchased IO under their wing. So at the moment, they're fully independent. So to have, if they do continue,
fully independent with no income,
but if they do find a way to continue as they are, at least they're going to have the Hitman franchise to hopefully kind of keep them afloat while something gets sorted out.
That'd be cool. I hope they can.
Yeah. No. All the best to them. Definitely. Number two, this is. I could put this one in for you, but I'm also keen to for this as well. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt soundtrack is undoubtedly one of the best in recent years, and if you enjoyed listening to those tunes while slaying monsters, then CD Projekt Red has some good news for you. In partnership with Think Geek, the developer is releasing the game's original score via an exclusive vinyl double LP, which is available as of last Friday. In that LP, you get the exclusive vinyl LP, officially licensed Witcher 3 merchandise. Grey colour is a Think Geek exclusive, so I think the vinyls are grey. Two vinyl LPs jam-packed with songs from the game in a beautiful slipcover. Slipcover comes with beautiful art featuring a towering leshen on the front. LPs are the frosty grey colour, much like Geralt's beard. Mm-hmm. 35 total tracks.
Damn. I love good vinyl.
I think it's about $80. It's an expensive vinyl.
Yeah, it depends. So, like, I've spent that on a vinyl before.
Oh, bet you have. But it doesn't mention if it's limited
here. Yeah, see, though, I spent that much on a limited vinyl.
Yeah.
I imagine this will be limited, or if not already sold out, at least that first printing.
Yeah, so it came out yesterday as of recording this episode. I really need to get my hands on a turntable.
I have one in the hallway.
I know you do.
You can literally have it. I'm trying to get rid of it.
Hey?
Take it with you today.
Cool. I guess I'll be buying this then.
Like, I'll give you all the cables and everything you need. Just get the fuck out of
the reason I don't want it is because I spend so much money on stupid shit as it is, and then it's another thing I need to buy vinyls now.
Yeah, but vinyl's great.
Vinyl is
like, great. Like, because you're a muso from way back, so yeah. It's like you'll... Like, if you can get it into a good hi-fi...
Need to find some Beethoven or Bach to put on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing my housework. Yeah, number three, development on Final Fantasy VII Remake is changing to an internal setup at Square Enix. As reported by FF Reunion and translated by Gematsu, during a recent Mobius Final Fantasy livestream, Naoki Hamaguchi, the project lead on Final Fantasy VII Remake, revealed Square Enix has shifted its focus away from working with an external studio on the game. CyberConnect 2 was previously helping Square Enix with its development. Hamaguchi confirmed that while development was moving forward with external cooperation, Square Enix has decided to shift to an internal setup, including mass production and quality, because we want to control everything, including quality, on a stable schedule.
What schedule?
There is no schedule, because they're also gone into emergency hiring for the game as well. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand.
See, every bit of news that I hear now for Final Fantasy VII just makes them seem a little bit more pathetic.
Well, it's the same kind of situation as The Last Guardian. Is, you know, you keep getting drip-fed news, and eventually, as news was coming out, you become so apathetic to it.
Yeah.
It's like, here we go again.
This isn't a matter of the game being delayed, because no time point has ever been announced.
I just wish they didn't show it.
This
so
is
early.
Just like, hey, we have this cool thing, and then once you show it, everyone expects it. So.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap about the game anyway, but...
Since they changed the combat from turn-based to mirror, I guess what Final Fantasy XV's combat is,
yeah.
I give less of a shit now.
What's the thing? We've mentioned a number of times how like I just don't care about Final Fantasy, and yeah. You used to care, but it's just like...
It's more the situation is fascinating.
Yeah, and it's kind of horrifying to anyone that is a genuine fan of Final Fantasy, because it's the same team that's also doing Kingdom Hearts, which means both of them are being incredibly delayed-ish. I can't think of the right word. It's not a delay. It's like it's just the development time is just getting out of fucking hand.
Yeah. While it is a good thing that it is going to internal, I guess, because you know then Square have all that proper control over it. You know, Square obviously developed the game to start with. It just seems to be flip flopping around at the moment.
Yeah,
I don't know when to expect it. I couldn't give you a time frame. Could be a PS five launch title.
At least Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy VII Remake are potentially 3 years out.
Yeah. That's insane. That's
the last statement.
Considering they were revealed how long ago?
3 years ago.
Yeah,
4 years ago.
That's a long time. Number four, Sony has formally ended production of the PlayStation 3 in Japan, according to PlayStation's official page in Japanese, as seen by Gematsu. It's not necessarily a surprise. Sony said back in March that shipments would soon come to an end. It certainly does not mean the existing installation base is no longer supported, but it does bring the PS3's run to an official end after 11 years.
11 years is a good run on
PS3.
That's
a solid run. And the fact that it just sold and was developed for so long still shows that people still wanted to buy them.
And the fact that, like, Persona 5, you know, it was released on PS3 in, like, Japan shows that at least parts of the world still care. And that's
still heavily
so
rely
good.
On the PS3. Yeah. So, Sony, thank you for the memories with the PS3. It is a shame to see it coming to an end.
I love PS3.
But I hope it brings us into a brighter future.
Yeah, well, what I'm hoping that they might do is they might, you know, with that winding down, like the console will still get support in terms of the PSN, of
PSN
store
and
everything
Plus
available,
and
PS Plus, whatever. But I'm hoping that like with that, they sort of slowly shift out the PS3 games in the PS Plus for the month and do something cool with it.
Yeah, that would be cool. But speaking of, well, maybe, I was trying to segue, but I fucked it up. They've ended the PS3. Mm. Maybe they did it to do what they're doing. In news number five, a gold-coloured PlayStation 4 is reportedly hitting retail this coming week. They stop one thing and make a new. I don't fucking know. According to two different Reddit threads, the gold PS4 may arrive on retail shelves as soon as June 9. One image also shows a new lower price point. One Walmart shopper spotted the 1 TB console with matching controller in the wild with a price tag of $249. When he went to purchase it, the employees of that store reportedly quickly secreted away. At almost exactly the same time, someone who said they were where a Target employee posted that they found a listing for the unit in their computer system. No pricing information was shared at Target, though. A matching DualShock, a gold DualShock 4 controller has also appeared on the Best Buy website for $64.99 US. This thing looks awesome.
Yeah, see, I'm like,
I wouldn't buy it, but it looks so cool.
Like we've talked about this before, and like just in like between us, like I like the simpler designs. Like I like the blacks, the grays, that kind of blends into my TV unit. Like a big gold PS4 would look really bad.
That means you need a gold PS4, gold TV unit, a gold TV.
Yeah, for those that want that added bling, it's the same jerks that buy rose gold like iPhones.
No, I'd imagine like, it would look really good in a white TV unit with that kind of aesthetic through the house, I think.
Yeah, I think there is certainly a market for that. I think it's a big market, but like this is the one thing that always interests me about the PS4 is so. With the OG PS4, they did have a lot of cool special editions, but they're mostly just sort of effing around with the faceplate. There wasn't a lot of difference, right? Like, they had the Batman one, it was just grey with a different faceplate, you know, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. But the only one that I think was noticeably super different was, like, the Star Wars one.
The Uncharted one?
The Uncharted one was... I think it might have just been a faceplate.
Oh, maybe.
But with the new Slims, they've not done much with them. They had the Final Fantasy 15 one, which had a cool picture on the top, but outside of that, they've really not effed with it too much.
See, I can't get faceplates for my PS4 because I have the I forget what it's called.
Extra storage fucking
thing. It's the attachment that goes on top where you can use a 2.5 inch hard drive instead of a 3.5.
Other way around.
Yeah, the other way around. Yeah, so it's,
I have an adapter, let's use a smaller hard drive.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird shape, so I can't do anything with it.
Yeah, I got the Pro. I can't do shit with it, so.
Maybe one day.
Maybe I put some stickers on there.
Maybe. Number 6. PS Plus games for June have been announced. For PS4, you will get Killing Floor 2 and the whole seasons of Life is Strange. PS3, you'll get Abyss Odyssey and WRC5 World Rally Championship. And PS Vita, cross-buy with PS4, you'll get Neon Chrome and Spy Chameleon. I don't give a fuck about any of those games except for Life is Strange and Killing Floor 2.
I think Killing Floor 2 is awesome.
Yeah, and I looked at some reviews and stuff from when it came out, and it's rated really well. And of course, the buzz from Life is Strange is real.
Because
I downloaded Season 1 to try it out. I think I said this last week. And I did try it, and it was good. It was interesting. I was interested to see where it goes, but I didn't want to buy it. And then, like, 3 days later, they're like, it's free in June. Cool, man.
Like, yep.
Yep.
Like, for me, from a distance, because I can't quite... Your screen's on a bit of an angle. I thought that said Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I thought too.
Yeah! I'm like, wait, didn't they already... Like, we already got Abe's Odyssey New and Tasty like a couple months back.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I get it again.
I am keen for Killing Floor 2 as well.
Yeah, I think we should spend some time with that. That's really
could
good.
Be a good stream.
I think it would be.
PS Plus stream.
Damn. We still have PT. We need you to play PT.
Yeah, I know. I'm scared.
I'm so scared.
I don't really want to.
I want Dylan to do it too, though.
He doesn't have a stomach for that stuff.
No, that's why I want him to do it. That'd be awesome. You want him to be like, yeah! Like, I'll be watching it on the TV in the lounge going,
cradling each other.
But you're having a tough time.
Yeah. Number 7, the top selling games for the week ending the 28th of May have been announced. Starting from number 10, Call of Duty Black Ops.
3.
FIFA 17, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, Prey, Overwatch, GTA 5, AFL Evolution still hanging in there, yeah. Ghost Recon Wildlands, Injustice 2, and back at the number one spot 3 months after release, 2 months, 3 months after release, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yay!
So, Black Ops, I guess, 3 is back in there because they released that...
The zombie anthology.
The big zombie
thing,
anthology.
Yeah.
Overwatch had its 1 year anniversary, so it was on quite a good
literally
discount.
Half price.
Yeah, literally half price. So that would push that back in there. AFL Evolution, still in the top 5.
It's so good.
It is so good. It's incredible.
I know we say it every week, but fuck yeah. Like, that list barely changed. I don't know how Horizon got back to number 1. Like, was it on sale?
I don't remember seeing it on sale. It might have been, but I might have missed it. And Injustice 2 went from the number 1 spot to number 2 as well. So that game is still doing really well as well.
Yeah.
It's a good list.
I'm pretty stoked. Like, I do like seeing, especially the Australian top 10 charts. I think that's incredibly important. Like, because most places you just see the American one.
I guarantee you AFL Evolution will not be on any other charts anywhere in the world.
Not a chance.
But it is down here, that's important.
Where it counts.
Where we're based.
Yeah. Like, it fascinates me to see what people are spending their dollars on.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Number 8 and final bit of news for this week. Middle-earth Shadow of War has been delayed from its original planned August release date.
What?
developer Monolith Productions has announced. You didn't know? You didn't see this?
No.
Oh, sorry to be very bad news. I'll explain to you now what's happened. According to the post from developer Monolith Productions community manager, on behalf of the game's development team, Shadow of War will now be released worldwide on October 10. A different release date will be announced for certain territories, including Australia, New Zealand, and Japan, according to the post. So we may get it a little bit later than that, maybe. When Warner Brothers first unveiled the Shadow of Mordor sequel earlier this year, the game had an August 22nd release date for North America and August 25th in Europe. In a quote, Middle-earth Shadow of War expands gameplay in every dimension, including the massive open world, the story, the RPG systems, and personal player stories of the Nemesis system, the post reads. As with Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor, Monolith is committed to delivering the highest quality experience. In order to do this, we have made the difficult decision to move our launch date to ensure that Middle-earth Shadow of War will deliver on that promise. We understand that it might be disappointing to have to wait a little longer for the release and are sorry for the delay, but we are working hard to make an amazing game, the post continued. Promising more about the game will be shown at E3 this year. Aww, you're upset.
I'm a little upset. Because now, what the fuck is coming out in August? Nothing.
It's catch up. You can finally play The Witcher in August.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you won't, though.
No, because some cool crap will come out from E3, I promise you.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
But, like, this is not to be... Like, most things get delayed these days, and that's fine. But, like... Well, let's jump straight into it.
This segues nicely into what we wanted to talk about today for our main topic, which is... Are we going to think of a name for the segment?
I'll have to, for the main thing. No idea.
Forgive the awkward silence.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, like, well, this main section still needs a name. We don't want to call it topic of the show.
Definitely. Whatever. This is what we're talking about for this episode. This is what the title will be.
The feature.
So, Shadow of War is delayed. Red Dead Redemption 2 is delayed. Ace Combat 7 is delayed.
And last year felt like the year of delay.
Last year, Breath of the Wild was delayed. Horizon was delayed.
Uncharted was delayed.
And then on top of that, we've got the Final Fantasy VII remake and Kingdom Hearts 3. Never got a date, but man, they were announced so long ago. So
we essentially want to ask each other, what's the deal with delays?
Is that the clickbait title?
Sure.
So... I don't think that delays are fine, because most of the time, even though you get the generic PR response, we're committed to making the best game we can and we need a little more time, sorry, blah, blah, blah. They normally work out for the best. They did with Horizon, they did with Breath of the Wild, they did with Uncharted 4, I'm sure it will with Red Dead, I'm sure it will with Shadow of War. I'm sure these games will be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But I think going into talking about Final Fantasy VII and Kingdom Hearts is that... games are just announced way too early, where that time frame is just like a loose number. You know what I mean? So, you know, when they showed the Final Fantasy VII, what they had done with some footage and all that at E3 2015, I think, they must have known at that point that that game is 5-6 years away at the minimum. So why show it? Why get everyone's hopes up? Because you end up shooting yourself in the foot, because you create... all that hype and all that discussion and all that pre-order hype, and then it just dies away. And then by the time the game is actually coming out, you have the Last Guardian situation where no one gives a fuck anymore.
See, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the releasing early, and we'll come back to delays. So the releasing early, it understand, like, there are some parts how it makes sense. A lot of time, you know, the video games are a business. It's an industry. So as a result, there's a lot of external people involved, like finances, investors that need to know what the deal is. Yeah. So when they do these financer calls, you know, when they talk about what the financials are for the year, and they're like, this is supposed to come out here. They're like, it'll come out this year because you want a return on your investment. So if we tell you that it's coming out within this time frame, you're like, okay, I'm going to get my money back at this point. You know, so that's normally where that discussion comes from. And I understand why they do that, sort of in terms of like the... announce something super early, it's to get that hype. But the problem is, especially these days, and with the amount of games, etc., out, like, hype fades, as you said, so fast.
Very quickly.
So what'll happen is people get really psyched about it for like 3 months, and then if nothing new, if no, it's a wave, right? So what'll happen? So it's a wave that'll never quite match its first. Mm. So it'll start at like 98. Right? People are fucking pumped when they get the announcement. Drops down, dips back down to like the 40s. And then they, oh, we have something new.
Comes
70.
Up. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Back down, back down to 30. And then back up to 60. And then like depending on how long that is and how much the information they give out, like after 2 years, no one's given a shit.
Because all this other stuff has been announced by then that's taken the attention away.
Exactly.
But you think, I think the Sony are in a similar situation with Death Stranding. I would have rather have seen nothing at this point except the word of mouth. Kojima is working on this.
Sony is in a problem right now simply because from last year, outside of Last Guardian and Horizon, they didn't mention... I think there may be another one in there as well. They didn't mention any release dates. They had God of War. They had Detroit Become Human. They had, you know, Crash Bandicoot, which now has a release date. You know, like there's all these like Days Gone, like, you know,
yeah.
Everything they've shown was like, this is coming. This is coming. This is coming. No idea of when, no year. Mm. Like, see, that is safer. It's the safest way to show something without
letting people down.
Yeah. So with God of War, right, now the theory is that it's going to come out probably early next year. But at no point have they ever said anything. At no point have they ever given a strict date. So I remember reading an article a couple of weeks back. It's like, God of War delayed in 2018. I'm like, it's not delayed in 2018. Mm. We don't know. We've never been given a date. You're fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like that's where that little loophole they can get away with. Like, it's never been delayed. We've never told you about it.
Exactly. And the thing is, too, is that at E3, you can kind of roughly gauge how far along the game is. So you can kind of come up with a rough time in your own head anyway. Like, Days Gone, that seemed to be quite a way through development
from what we saw. Yeah, they had a decent vertical slice. Now, a lot of the time when they do these demos at conventions and expos and whatever, like, it's a vertical slice. As in, they pick a part of the game... A part of the game, and then they deck that game, that section out. Yep. Like, they spend a bit of development time on it, so it's what the entire game would look like, but in one small moment. Yep. Now, an example, when we played Horizon at EB Expo last year, good 6 months early, they were pretty much like, hey, this area is pretty much fleshed out. Do what we like. Don't fuck around. Just kind of.
If you went outside the boundaries, you got that timer. You know, get back in the area within a few seconds. Or
but you can clearly see that they're giving you a bit of a free rein. Like, this is an area. Fuck around with it, and that's like. But it's a vertical slice. But it wasn't. It was kind of in this weird middle ground. So an example with that. Well, yeah, Days Gone looked like this is looking pretty polished.
Yeah.
And you know, we know that Bend has had the game on works for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You could like.
You can kind of judge. It's going to be out in the next probably year.
And then they show like The Last of Us Part 2 at PSX, right? Mm-hmm. For me, what are you doing? Everyone's keen as shit for that game, but you don't show that shit now. That game is at least 2-3 years away.
See, I think that was more of a Sony
get hype moment.
No, not even that. It's just... we're working on it. Without coming out and saying, hey, we're working on The Last of Us 2, it's like... here's a video. You know we're working on it. And with Naughty Dog's record, you know we're just going to fuck off. It's just to let the fans know we've heard you. We know you wanted it. We want to do it. And I still
disagree with that because I think by them showing, we keep using Last of Us as an example, by them showing that, it creates an expectation. And it's the same expectation that Square Enix is sitting at with when it comes to Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy. Every convention or every sort of conference from here until it comes out will be like, is Last of Us 2 going to be there? Is Kingdom Hearts going to be there? Are we finally going to get a release date for Kingdom Hearts?
Same as the Last Guardian situation.
Yeah, and that's creating that cycle that I talked about. Like, every year, I'm like, it's not coming. Because the last three conventions didn't say anything. Like, I just don't fucking care. I'm burnt out. And, like, if I read another article, it's like, Last of Us 2 could be showing up at Sony. Like, it could be. And I'm like, but don't.
Yeah.
Like, even Death Stranding. Like, I'm so keen to see what Hideo... Kojima's working on, right? I'd be fascinated to see more of Death Stranding. But it's come to a point, the last three conferences, E3 last year, PSX, and now I assume E3 this year.
Yeah, people are waiting for it.
Your people are like, oh, we're going to get more Death Stranding.
And then you don't. And then you're upset.
And they're like, well, yeah. Like, that's my concern, is because they've created this precedent. Mm. And, you know, the gaming community, we're a fickle bunch.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's like, we can turn on a heartbeat, right? You know what I mean? So, like, that's my concern. My concern is, like, I understand they want to do it for the hype, get people excited, but It's kind of like I was so happy when I heard originally with PSX, right? Well, we saw God of War in June. Are we going to see God of War at PSX? They're like, no, you're not going to see a thing.
Yeah. That's like, awesome.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I want.
But again,
which makes me hope that they come out this year and go, it's coming out in this day.
Going to Death Stranding, I would have been fine because Sony acquiring Kojima was a big fucking deal.
Yeah,
huge deal. And I think the initial reveal of just the Norman Reedus trailer of Death Stranding, it's like, we've got Kojima, here he is, he's working on something.
He's on stage, he gets that boss entrance.
He's on stage, had a boss entrance. Here's a clip from what he's thinking about working on, and then fucking disappeared. But they've kept releasing these other little weird fucking trailers. Mm. I would have been happy just, you've got Kojima, he's working on something fucking weird like I'd expect.
Yeah.
And then just disappear. But they keep drip feeding these little trailers, and it's like, the game must still be 3 years away.
So I think that's Kojima himself. He is very weird in a great way. And I think he has a lot of fun with just putting out things. And
letting people just kind of go, what the...
Because think about it. He's released 3 trailers. We have no idea. Mm. Those trailers are batshit insane.
There's also how much time was spent on getting these trailers that could have just not been spent on these trailers as well.
Yeah, true, but that's all, but it's also him tweaking with the engine and practicing with the engine. His team, I should say.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I know IGN this week, I believe, put up a bit of information that they went to Kojima Productions. Mm-hmm. And like the studio itself is decked out beautifully. I
imagine it'd be so decked out.
So when you walk into the office, there's like a little button and it opens, like the foyer is like an airlock for a space station. So as you walk in, it goes behind, and then there's that lumen, which is the statue of, you know, the
his mascot,
right?
Which is a boss mascot.
Yeah,
it's very cool. I'm jealous of your shirt.
So it's this white room with like a quarantine room.
Yeah,
and it opens the other end, and then you go out, and then you're on the bus. So I think Andrew Goldfarb told me how then he was escorted to a meeting room, and then Jim was like, look at that window, and it's one of those foggy windows. It bing, and then you see the entire studio, like it's upper, so you can just see everything.
Yeah.
And then he closes it again.
That's awesome.
And like, I think Kojima enjoys those little things, because they sort of, if you think about any sort of gaming studio, right? Like, it's not like a movie studio. A movie studio or a movie set is exciting.
Yeah.
Like, there's cool shit. There's green screens. There's cameras. There's lights. There's like, mm-hmm. wow, there's all this
buffet table.
Cool shit. You're thinking like, yeah, there's craft services. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But then you go to a gaming studio, and a lot of the time, it's just a giant room of computers.
Computers, yeah.
So like,
it's like what you see when you see the IGN videos. You just see cubicles and computers.
Yeah.
They're all decked out. Like, they all look cool, but it's just a room with computers in
and
it.
And I think Kojima enjoys the hype of making game development seem more cool than it is.
And fun.
And I think that's important. I think that is part of what he's doing, the messaging he's putting across. Mm. And I think that is bleeding into Death Stranding in a good way.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm happy with him doing the hype things. And, like, that's great. Because
you got to earn it.
Yeah.
And he's earned it. He has earned it. But in terms of delays, 95% of the time, I'm cool. It's disappointing, obviously, when it's announced that the game's been delayed by a few months, but it is only a few months. And if the team developing the game thinks that an extra few months will benefit them in such a big way that it is worth delaying the game, go for it.
See, I'm in the same boat as you, but we come from a very different place. Mm. You know, like we're still very small in the game's journalism with the Z. You know, like we're still very small fry, right?
We're small, not the smallest of small fries, but we're small fry.
Yeah, but we have the luxury that if we ask around, like if we want to, we can find enough games to fill the gap for 2 months.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So like the average person, they're like, oh man, I had every bit of money invested into Red Dead. Like my pre-order was paid. I've already applied for my leave. I'm going to get it. And they're like,
it does suck. Like, not this wasn't a delay, but just a kind of similar situation. Is like when Diablo 3 launched, I took a week off work to fucking fang that game, and for 4 days the servers didn't work. There would be a similar thing with delays. You know, a big multiplayer MMO style game like Destiny 2, for example, there will be people that have already taken holidays for Destiny, and if that thing gets delayed even by a week, the whole plan's fucked. So it can definitely be disappointing, but I would rather them take that time to put on whatever final polish they are wanting to and just wait that little bit. Because for Horizon, it worked. Like, yeah. Horizon came out and just blew everyone's minds. And Uncharted 4 came out and everyone was like, wow.
But obviously, Persona was the same.
Persona was the same. Yeah, we didn't get it for 6 months after Japan did. And even then, it was delayed so many times before. But Persona 5 came out and it is the best JRPG.
We were supposed to get it on Valentine's Day, but we ended up getting it.
And it's the best JRPG since probably Persona 4 came out.
And, like, for me, you know, because the game that I talk about every chance I can is South Park The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
Because I am hashtag super hype.
Look at your shirt. You bought it today.
Yeah. Press of Chaos. Like, for me, I am so fucking keen for this game. Like, you've got no idea, right?
Yeah.
So, like, my underpants are just giving me nothing but grief today.
It's been the last 2 days. Have you changed them? We were recording our Wonder Woman review last night, and the same thing. Are you wearing the same undies?
Maybe. Yeah, so, like, the worst thing about that, and it's the worst thing with Red Dead, right? They're like, it's delayed. So we don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's worse. I'm like,
That is.
Because, like, I understand that. When you're, like, super hyped for a game, but, like, for me, from past experience, a delay is a good thing. I think it was the guy from Nintendo. The name has blanked on me so hard. He goes, a delayed game is disappointing for 2 months.
Yeah.
A released broken game is disappointing forever. I butchered.
I don't think that was someone from Nintendo. I think that was a really high profile. Wasn't that Kojima?
It was Kojima.
It was someone.
I butchered that quote, but the whole idea is, like, you can delay a game for a short period of time, but
a delayed game is eventually.
That's,
I'll see if I can bring up.
That's not the quote. Shigeru Miyamoto. Yeah.
A delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is forever bad.
That's the one. There you go. Like, I was close, but I still butchered it. But I was close. Yeah. But that's totally true.
It is. Yeah.
Like, because there are times where I've played a game like, man, this could have done a little bit more time.
Mm.
It's a little bit more cooking.
Even with the day one patch that came out with it. See, I'm wondering if, because Red Dead 2 got delayed, and then all of a sudden Shadow of War got delayed. So what I'm wondering is if Shadow of War was releasing when it was because it was an empty slate, there's nothing to compete with here. So they maybe were rushing it out because they didn't have to compete with any other big games.
Mm.
Now that Red Dead 2 is not coming out this year, they're like, oh, thank fuck, we can take a bit more time.
Yeah, no, I just...
Maybe that's a back-of-house conspiracy thing, but it just, the timing does seem weird.
I don't think they're connected. I think it comes down to we needed more time. Because, like, if they put themselves in October, that's close to Call of Duty, that's close to Battlefront, that's close to Destiny. You know, like, Destiny's in September, right?
Yeah.
Like, you'd want to get ahead of all that Christmas period.
Yeah, true.
You've kind of thrown yourself just the beginning of it.
Yeah, you've thrown yourself in the mix.
Mm. Mm. But yeah, look, listen, we're lucky. We can find something else to do in that time.
Yeah,
you know, like, we still get butt hurt, like everyone does, but there's a way around it for us. Mm-hmm. But for the average consumer, like, delays are balls.
Very balls.
Okay. But if the game comes out after that delay, it's good. We're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I've got to say.
Delays are a necessary evil.
Delays good. Early unveiling, normally bad.
That could be the title of the episode. Delays are the necessary evil.
Ooh, I like it. Mm. Well done. This is why you do the titling for our video. Well, that's it for the main topic.
Yeah, well, what's your thoughts on our topic of discussion? Of course, comment below. Let us know. Facebook group, facebook.com/popculture.
Tell us how wrong we are.
Yeah, please.
Please do.
I'm wrong all the time.
Yes. Yes, we are. So, from that segment, we move into, I forget, do we move into questions or the drop?
Coming to the players.
I thought we did questions first and then finished.
We do. We did finish on the drops. Let me talk amongst yourselves.
Well, do you want me to do the drop then while you find questions? No,
like, we'll just... Because the drop is kind of... It's important, but it's not great to listen to.
There is a few games in the drop this week.
Well, let me have a look and see what we've got here. We did, as always, we did reach out to the lovely people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Question one from Jacob Gunner, one of our Patreon founders.
Thank you, Jacob. We very much appreciate it.
He asks, what's your proudest gaming moment?
Ooh, okay. The one that instantly jumps to my mind is not so much me being a gamer myself, but me being a gamer dad. And I think I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again anyway, because I very much enjoy telling it. Uncharted 4 came out. I was playing it. I got to about chapter 12 before something else new and shiny came along, as it does. And my son wanted to play it. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. So I was sitting with him on the couch and I was helping him all the way up to chapter 12. And I said, look, bud, I don't want any spoilers. So you're on your own from here, man. I don't want to help you anymore. No, that sounds bad. Like, I don't want to help you. But you're on your own. This is all you. So I'd go hide in the computer room while he's playing it. And then a few weeks later, he comes out and says, Dad, I finished it. And I said, what? He goes, I finished Uncharted. I said, what do you mean? I look out and the credits are rolling on the screen. And I just thought, fuck. And he's to this day, he hangs it on me. That, have you finished Uncharted 4 yet? No, I finished it before you. And, you know, he's 8, so he's got that pride, and that really kind of instilled something in him. Like,
you know, he's gone to told his
friend really
about it.
It really isn't often that kids of that age finish a game. Like, you don't finish a game.
No, I'm 28.
You know, he...
Of 20 years
to play a game from start to finish, see the credits, and do the second half of the game without Dad's help.
Yeah.
Like that. And to me, I was like, yes. So proud. I took a photo. I put it on the kind of funny community
you did?
Group.
Very excited.
Like, I think about this time last year, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, that anything I've done in video games is eclipsed by that one moment of my son finishing that game.
See, like, for me, it's kind of tough. Like, I'm trying to think of what would be my proudest moments.
Anything in DC UO?
No, one thing, one of them would have to be getting your first 100% on Expert in Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah?
I remember exactly what song it was, too. Yeah. It was The Metal by Tenacious D on Guitar Hero 3.
Is that one of the more difficult songs?
Not crazy difficult.
No.
Like, but it's a medley sounding song. Like, there's a lot of finger work.
Yeah.
I remember when I got, because that was the first one, I was like, I want that to be my first 100% on Expert. Mm-hmm. And it took me ages and ages, and I kept getting like 99, 88, 90, you know. And finally one day I got it, I was like, it didn't prove anything, didn't do anything. But yeah, this was good.
No trophy for that.
No, because it was like early PS3. There was no way.
But hey, whatever makes you feel good about yourself in the video game world, you got
to
take it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else would be like my sort of my proudest moments. I guess
another one for me, going back to when I was like 10, when I finished Final Fantasy VIII. It was the first big JRPG I ever finished. The first one I played, and I played it all the way. And it took me like 3 years, man. Like, just coming back to it. Because I was young, you know, get distracted. Yeah. But I always come back to it. Eventually, yeah, got to the final boss and finished the game. And saw, for the first time in my life, saw an ending FMV. And it just felt good, man. Just felt really good.
So that's the thing. Like, because my memory is really shot. I'm sure there's some great moments I'm super fucking proud of, like, at the time. But for the life of me now, I got nothing. Mm.
All right, what else we got from the players?
From the players, that's the name of the question segment. Mm-hmm. Joel, another Patreon supporter, asks, with Guerrilla Games doing a complete 180 from their Killzone series to Horizon, what other studio would you like to see develop a genre of game they aren't known for, and what kind of game would you want?
Ooh, okay. Well, my first thought goes straight to Naughty Dog.
You'd never not talk about Naughty Dog.
I know, I love them. So they've done 3D platforming. They've done 3D action adventure. They've done 3D action survival with The Last of Us, however you want to categorize it. I would love to see Naughty Dog do a long story, as in a full 30, 40 hour story first person shooter. Because the way they tell their stories, the incredible storytelling and writing their games have, I don't remember the last time I've had that quality of a writing experience in a first-person shooter. Mm. There are first-person shooters with good stories. You know, Bioshock, for example, it's a really good, interesting story, but it's not on the level of Uncharted and The Last of Us. And to have that in an FPS setting, I think it'd be fucking sweet.
Yeah, look, I agree with you there. I think that would be interesting, but I think the benefit of the storytelling of Last of Us, of Uncharted, is because it's external, third person. You're not trying to become the character, you are just seeing everything take place. Like, so giving that essentially that overhead view, right, lets you care more about the players. You're not relating to them personally, you're watching it, you're absorbing it. I think that's the big difference. See, in the same vein, like, I think Rockstar would be interesting to you, because they dipped with it in Grand Theft Auto 5 on PS4 and Xbox One, is they touched upon first FPS. You could play the whole campaign in FPS. I remember there being a big controversy because you could axe woman in the face. And like, I think that would be interesting in terms of being able to sort of put you in that world. And it did. It changed how I played Grand Theft Auto.
I remember the first time you axed someone, you were like, that felt really
bad. I'm like, oh, that was really weird.
Imagine doing that in theater mode on your VR.
Oh, don't do that now. You should do that. Like, that's the thing. Like, for me, I was like, wow, that this really changed how I play this game. And I think that is what I'm after. In terms of what Joel's talking about, like, I can't think of it like a name of studio right now. But it's like, if it, whatever that developer does, if it changes how you think of their games and how you play their games, that's what you need.
Well, Kojima says that's kind of what he's going for with Death Stranding.
Hmm. Like, he has the idea, it is the third person adventure or whatever, but he wants you to rethink how you play these games.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that is the big difference. I think that's what's important.
One more question asked to us from Josh Murphy, asked us on YouTube comments on episode one, I believe. Do we think that at E3 this year there will be any info on a new Splinter Cell game?
So, it's Ubisoft, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. So we haven't had a Splinter Cell game since, I think, Blacklight in 2013.
Mm.
I don't think so. I don't know
the strength of that franchise. Is it Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell? Is that its full name?
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting knowing that, you know, with Division sort of not done and dusted, they do working some.
It's done and dusted.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've got Siege.
You got Siege, which is doing extremely well. You've got Wildlands, which is doing extremely well.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be it.
Because Splinter Cell is like your stealth spy kind
but
of.
But with
game.
The success of like Dishonored 2. With its very stealth-based gameplay, it'd be interesting to see it come back and how they would do it in like a new.
It's a grounded setting.
Yeah, because that was PS3, right?
Yeah.
Blacklight.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to see what they do with it now in terms of a new generation. The new, you know, I think they could develop a really cool game out of it. Mm. So have a bigger flesh world where you can have more consequence in terms of more like the with the stealth game. What you need is you really need really strong AI, strong environments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where they are at, if they do something with it, I think it would be very interesting to see.
Yeah, because Dishonored 2, while being a stealth game, was also very kind of out there as well. You know, you had powers and you did all this weird, crazy stuff. Whereas Splinter Cell, I would imagine it to be very, very grounded, you know, very...
It is.
Very real.
From my memory.
Yeah, very real. So I can't think of really another game, single-player game like that out at the moment. I'd love to see it. Fucking oath, I'd love to see it, but I don't...
Because think about it, right? If you think about what Ubisoft is doing this year when it comes to E3, like, we know they're going to be talking about Just Dance, because they always do.
Yeah,
we're probably getting more South Park information. We're going to get more Far Cry 5 information. We're getting the new Assassin's Creed. What else?
There'll probably be some kind of
Rabbids and Mario, like
something for Siege, maybe.
Yeah, like some probably some more, you know, year two or whatever.
Maybe Ghost
for Siege.
Recon's first DLC, like season pass DLC or something. Well,
they've already dropped two.
Are they?
Like maybe they'll be looking at their year two for Ghost Recon. But like outside of game, like there's not like this is all building on the things we already know. Like there's no big bombshell announcement. I think Josh. Was it Josh?
Josh Murphy.
Josh Murphy. Another Josh. Damn, there's Josh everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think you're onto something. I think it could, if it does get announced.
Oh, the stealth release of a stealth game.
Ooh.
Damn.
There's
always leaks. And we haven't heard a thing.
What would be fascinating is because this is changing. Like, it'll be so different to Ubisoft's current plan.
Mm.
You know, like, they are very multiplayer focused at this point with Division, with Siege. With Wildlands,
Far Cry has
co-op for the whole game. Unity was all based around Assassin's Creed, but with multiple players.
Yeah,
you know, so like they've clearly tried this multiplayer angle, and that's where they're focusing. So for them to come out and talk about this game that is what we'd assume is totally solo would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Any more questions for this week, or do you want to keep it to the
We've got one from Lee.
Yep.
Lee Stevenson, another one of our beautiful Patreon supporters. Now, it's something we have sort of touched on previously, but we'll see what he has to say. With Sega and Xbox now starting to develop subscription-based game rental, would you like PlayStation to expand their PS Plus platform and implement a Netflix style of game rental? Maybe unlimited play on select titles changing every week. Now, they already have this. We've discussed this before. They're like, so PlayStation has PS Now, or PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
That exists in the US. It's not available here. And the big difference is that is total streaming where Game Pass, and I assume with Sega, like you download the game, play it until your subscription stops.
I would love for Sony to do what Microsoft has done with their... It's called Gamer Pass or Game Pass?
Gamer Pass, yes.
Gamer Pass.
I do have access to it. I haven't fiddled around with it yet.
Because it would be If they some, because they, we did report last week that there was news that they were looking at revamping the PS Plus service somehow. Don't know what they're going to do. No idea. I think we find out this month, actually, that they said the meeting was going to be.
It might be something at PlayStation.
But if their solution to backwards compatibility was this kind of a service, awesome. Especially because with Xbox's service, you get to download without streaming. You don't stream the game, you download it. Therefore, you don't get the lag and your internet really doesn't matter. As long as you can get it downloaded, you play as much as you want, as long as you stay subscribed. I would love to see, if we're going to this all digital future that everyone keeps talking about, to have that kind of a Netflix-style video game service.
Yeah, look, and the benefit would be, with PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live, they do tend to be a little bit older games.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
For the most part.
For the most part. So, like, be able to get some semi-recent-ish games. Like, I know with Game of Pass, Halo 5 is on there. Mad Max, which is a PS, which is, you know, this generation game. Like
Gears of War 4 on there.
Gears of War 4,
well,
I think, might be on there as well. So, there's a bunch of coolish, newish games. I think that would be the good advantage for people to sort of get their hands on a bunch of games they haven't before. Mm. And PlayStation, I think, would greatly benefit from that. It would give...
Put the Uncharted Remastered Trilogy
on it. It would give people... that didn't get a PS3 to be able to play some PS3 games on their PS4.
Yeah.
With backwards compatibility being as popular as it is, it would be silly not to have it.
Exactly the reason I haven't played Red Dead yet. I have it at home and I have a PS3. I'm lazy and I can't be bothered plugging in my PS3 to play this one game.
Now, I'm positive I've used this segue before, but they're all old games. Let's talk about the new games this week with coming to the players. These are all the games coming to the PlayStation platforms for the week of June 6th, 2017.
Not a big list this week compared to other weeks. Again, we're going to just quick fire the names and then go back and talk about the ones that interest us. Starting with Clayton Returns. This is... Holy shit.
All right, yanked a cord.
This is losing our mixing board off the desk. Thanks, Ryan. I'll continue. Clayton Returns. This is Sengoku. PS4, PS Vita Digital, PS4 version at retail. Dark Rose Valkyrie, PS4 Digital and retail. Dirt 4.
We need longer cables that we can like hide around and up on the table.
Dirt 4, PS4 Digital and retail. The Elder Scrolls Online, Morrowind, PS4 Digital and retail. Farming Simulator 18, PS Vita
David,
Digital.
I know you're listening. Farming
Please?
Simulator 18 on the Vita.
Please.
Rookie Magic, please.
Jumpstars, PS4 Digital. Neighborhood, PS4 Digital. Perception, PS4 Digital. Plague Road, PS Vita Digital. Randall, PS4 Digital. Special Delivery, PSVR Digital. Super Beat, Zonic. Is that how you say that with an X?
Yeah.
Zonic, PS4 Digital and retail. The Town of Light, PS4 Digital and retail. And second last, I nearly said last, Victor Vran, PS4 Digital. And very last, Wipeout Omega Collection, PS4 Digital and retail. The first game I want to jump back to is Plague Road for PS Vita. This is a game that was kickstarted a little while ago. They wanted $30,000. They ended up getting $55,000. So congratulations to you. The game is out next week. And it sounds bad, but the only reason I got attention to this game is because I know Jim Sterling is the narrator of the game.
And does have that cool voice.
Yeah, so the game is it's a turn-based RPG where you are...
Oh, there's a little bit of a...
Yeah, it's like a GIF kind of thing.
Okay, cool, yeah.
You are a plague doctor. So you got the plague mask on. I think I've said it before, I love the plague doctor masks.
It's cool.
They look so cool. So yeah, basically, I think like a turn-based RPG. It looks cool, but the colours, if Ryan, you can see, the colours are a little bit weird. Like, I feel like it should be darker when it's really bright. But I'm interested in giving it a go anyway, because I like Jim Sterling, so... You know?
I'm in the same boat. Look, for me, obviously, we'll be spending some time with Wipeout.
Yeah.
As I said, streaming Monday, the
5th.
Monday the 5th at 8 PM Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Well,
on
day this episode's out.
Yep. We'll be streaming Wipeout. Farming Simulator 18, fuck yeah, on the Vita, fuck yeah.
You were very surprised, weren't you?
I was really surprised. I didn't know that was coming out. I'm curious how that game plays compared to 17 on the PS4s. Elder Scrolls Online, Morrowind. This should be interesting. I have a copy of Elder Scrolls Online. I've had it for the better part of like 6 months, and I haven't put it in.
I'll read the little synopsis for it. Return to Morrowind in this new chapter of the award-winning online role-playing series. The Elder Scrolls Online series, The Elder Scrolls Online, embark on a dangerous journey through legendary locales and save Morrowind from a deadly Daedric threat. Includes the first game of the series as well. So, yeah, I have it as well, The Elder Scrolls Online. I played it for, I don't know, maybe 10 hours, and I think I got lost.
Would it benefit from some co-op action?
Oh, definitely would. It wasn't that I wasn't finding it difficult, but I kept getting lost. I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
Do you want to maybe jump into it?
Yeah, you're going to have, I think, something like 50 or 60 gig worth of patches.
That's cool.
Because it's a MMO, essentially. Yeah. The other game...
MBN, my phone?
Well, it's still taking a long time to download Wipeout, isn't it? The other game I was excited for was Perception. Perception is a first-person narrative horror adventure that tells the story of Cassie, a blind heroine who uses her extraordinary hearing and raises sharp wits to unravel the mysteries of an abandoned estate that haunts her dreams. The trailer and the premise looked cool, but it's not reviewing very well, unfortunately. So I probably won't... But in the same vein as
But on Perception, a side note, Perception, okay, also a really good TV show starring Eric McCormick from Will and Grace fame.
I've never heard of it. The Town of Light. Play through the eyes of Renee, a 16-year-old girl who suffers from the symptoms of a mental illness. She is searching for answers to the many questions from her past while exploring the place where she spent most of her youth. Guide Renee through a dark and emotional journey where the lines between entertainment, storytelling, and reality blur. So, this is a horror thriller, but what's kind of got me interested is... I'm trying to find the quote that I read. The game has some really difficult moments, making it unsuitable for children, but moments which we felt were important to include, doing justice to those who suffered at the hands of a system which was clearly overwhelmed and itself didn't know all the answers. This is talking about because she was in a mental asylum when she was a child.
Okay.
And that's affected her through her whole life, so she's going back there to get the answers. So this is based off true events in a real town.
Okay.
It sounds really cool and interesting. The Town of Light delves into a number of delicate themes through the eyes of protagonist Renee, a resident of the institution who tries to piece together her past, exploring the ruins of the facility where she endured much of her youth. So I'm setting the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's going to be themes, I guess, of like lobotomizing and electroshock therapy and all that kind of stuff. It sounds pretty gnarly. And to have the disclaimer, there are some really difficult moments, but we felt they were important to include to do justice to those who suffered at that. Kind of got me with that. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. This sounds like the kind of fucked up game I'm
getting. And then Special Delivery, which is just like Paperboy VR.
What do you like, dodging cars and stuff?
Yeah.
Man, I'll go up to it here. Dodge cars, dogs, and tornadoes as you grow your subscriber base and expand your paper route in this arcade-inspired newspaper delivery game.
That sounds awesome and stupid.
It sounds maybe Easy Platinum.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe?
Don't forget Easy Platinum.
You love your Easy VR Platinums.
Yeah, like
with Job Simulator. That's it for the drop this week.
That is. That's pretty much brings the whole show to an end at this point.
Mm-hmm. Episode 5, done and dusted.
Done and dusted.
Oh, you weren't clapping, you're wiping your hands.
Yep. You know what you need to say.
If you enjoyed that conversation, you can be a part of future ones and many more on YouTube, iTunes and Stitcher, Facebook and all other social media outlets. But the bulk of the conversation happens on our Facebook community group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists. If you really, really, really like that conversation and want to hear some more, patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers there. There might be something that interests you.
It could be something similar as getting this episode early.
Yeah. We do that. That's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this has been For the Players.